You all can take your Bibles and turn to Philippians 4. Going to be going through verses 8 through 9 this afternoon. Philippians 4, 8 through 9. This is, a very familiar passage. This is one of the more popular passages to have up as a piece of decoration. You know, you see it in the fancy script hanging up on the wall in a lot of houses, I think. It's short. It's memorable. It's just a great encouragement to the way you should act and the way you should think. So this is Philippians 4, 8 through 9. Scripture says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." So in these verses that we see here, we see Paul, these are actually the final instructions that he's giving to the Philippian church. So he's about to conclude the book. So the book of Philippians, it's really bookended by, first, Paul praises the Philippians for their concern and their generosity that they had given to him. And then he also does so at the end of the book as well. And so we see the two ends, his intro and his conclusion. And so in the middle, you have these instructional sections. And this is the last set of instructions he gives before he concludes. And so as his final instructions to this church, Paul is providing these very broad commands that almost sum up what he has said to this point, and they provide general rules to follow for sanctification. And so what are these rules that Paul is giving to this church? Well, there's two different points here, two different verses. So from verse 8, we see that it is to think on what is excellent. And from verse 9, we see that it is to practice what Paul had instructed to them and had lived in front of them. And so first we come to verse 8, to conform your inward thoughts. So what are these thoughts that we are commanded to have? Well, Paul lists them for us. So I'm going to walk through these, but as I came up with these, I realized that it is very difficult to split what a person thinks and what a person does. This is because the two are very difficult to separate. This is because what you do very often, not always, but very often flows from what you think. This is similar to the point Jesus makes in Matthew 15, 17 through 20. He says, "Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled, but what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person? For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone." So there we see that Jesus is pushing back on the Jewish leaders for their man-made traditions instead it's wrong actions and words that can defile a person rather than these traditions that they have. And key to our point tonight, those wrong actions and words come from an evil heart. So logically then, clean actions and words come from a clean heart. So let's walk through each of these 6 points that Paul makes. As we go through them, I encourage you, don't just zone out. Imagine what each of these looks like in your own life, how these broad descriptions that Paul gives of thoughts and actions would take place in your specific situation. So first, Paul says there's 6 of these. So he says, whatever is true, meaning this means that we hold in our minds the truth of God's word. In fact, Christ himself is the word of God, and Christ himself is the way, the truth, and the life. So we should be holding Christ himself in our minds and the truth about Christ. It also means that we should act in a way towards others in a way that is honest and not seeking to deceive. It's the opposite of planning falsehoods against others or lying to undermine them. Psalm 24, 3 through 5 says, "Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy hill? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully, he will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation." So we see here a hint of what it means to be true. You don't lie, you don't swear deceitfully, so it's especially not to get one over on another person. And we see what is promised to someone who is true, blessing from the Lord and righteousness. Next, Paul says, whatever is honorable. So this is the same word that Paul actually uses in 1 Timothy 3 through 8 to describe deacons. And this is translated there, dignified. It means we should walk in a way worthy of our calling, as Paul says in Ephesians 4:1. So we recognize the position we have in Christ as his representatives, keep ourselves above things that are sinful or petty. I don't know what you all think of when you think dignified, but I think of a butler. So the butler, you think of him, he tends to stay a little bit aloof from other people, from the kind of stuff that's going on below, that's below him. But he has a reason for doing this. And what's that reason? It's because he's taking his job very seriously. And so we also need to take the job that we have been given seriously. We should act dignified. We should stay aloof from sin or from things that distract us from our purpose. And so next, Paul says, whatever is just. I think Paul here is referring to personal justice, what you do, how you act toward others. I don't think he's talking as much about societal justice here, although there is a place for caring about justice in society, as when the psalmist, as in the psalmist's prayer to God in Psalm 10:18, it says, do justice to the fatherless and to the oppressed, so that man who is of the earth may strike terror no more. But I think more so what Paul is talking about is to not be the person oppressing others, seeking to take advantage of them. So we should not cheat others. We should not, we should pay what we owe, and we should do as we say we will. And if we ourselves are given positions of leadership, then we should treat those below us with wisdom and judge fairly without bias. So next Paul says, whatever is pure. This is the opposite of lustful or obscene. These are things that can seep into our thoughts and can seep into our speech or our even our humor. Paul calls us here to think of what is pure, what is holy, as it is translated sometimes, and we should be focused on the things of God rather than what is cheap or dirty. Next, whatever is lovely, meaning we appreciate beauty. This could be in God's creation, but this is especially in thoughts and actions that promote community, friendship, or love for one another. And then lastly, whatever is commendable. And actually, Paul, John in his message this morning and covered this very well, I think. This can be translated also, whatever is of good report. This morning we talked about the reputation that you have among other Christians, and this is what Paul is referring to here. So we should dwell on anything that gives us a good reputation among others. Ecclesiastes 7:1 says that a good name is better than precious ointment. And so as representatives of Christ here on earth, we must strive not to soil his name or to give the enemies of God a way to accuse us. Instead, we must be above reproach, as Paul says in 1 Timothy 3, the overseer must be. And so looking at these 6 points, these six things that Paul brings out and says we must be, it's not an exhaustive list. He says, whatever is excellent, think on these things, right? But so how can you do this in your life, though? What are some practical applications of this? So first I would ask you, what do you fill your mind with? There is a great deal of media that is made for the world, and the world loves what is evil. It often loves what is lustful or degenerate. And even beyond that, makers of media have their own agendas that they try to push that goes against what God teaches. While this isn't every movie or TV show, even entertainment made for a secular audience can, by God's common grace, agree with what he teaches. But we should be discerning to fill our minds with what builds us up and not what is empty or even seeks to deceive us. And then second, we should be careful with what we meditate on. This is, meditate means to think on it for a long time. It's what you sit there and stew on. And so what do we spend our time thinking about? Is it what is evil in the world? Is it lustful? We must have the self-control to focus on the things Paul says here and take seriously the way that we serve God. When evil thoughts enter our minds, we must force them out and instead direct our minds towards God's word, how God has blessed us, and how we can bless others and bring him glory. So this isn't always what we would consider positive. It's not just a call to be positive all the time. But it is always constructive, and it seeks to draw us closer to God and to build us up in his ways. So that's verse 8. That's how we should be thinking. Next we see, though, in verse 9, how we are to act. As I said earlier, holy thoughts lead to holy actions. And now that Paul has encouraged the body to holy thoughts, he now reminds the Philippians too, with these holy thoughts, obey everything that he had commanded them. This isn't just what he says in the letter, though. It's everything he had ever taught them to this point. In fact, Paul lays out the different ways that Christians learn how to obey God. So we see Paul says that they should take what they have learned, meaning theologically, what they have received, meaning what they had embraced or already applied. They had given it a big hug, I guess. What they have already applied, they should continue doing so. What they have heard, what Paul had taught them in person as he was present with them at the start. And finally, he commands them to do what they had seen in Paul. So he is calling them to follow the example he had set. And this is actually a common theme we see in the book of Philippians. We see in chapter 2, Paul urges them to follow Christ's example of humility. And we see this again in chapter 3, where Paul says in verse 17, "Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us." So we should also learn to follow the examples of those who have come before us in the faith. We can and should follow the examples of Christ and the apostles, as Paul, as is the direct application here, and as is recorded for us in Scripture. And then we should also seek to follow the examples of other Christians. We should be watching others. We should be paying attention to how they act. We should seek to find what is praiseworthy, and we should seek to do the same ourselves. And then finally, in verse 9, Paul says that if we obey God's will for us and listen to what is taught in Scripture, that God, the God of peace, will be with us. God will provide us inner peace that comes with obedience, and this is instead of the turbulence and doubt that comes with sin and disobedience to him. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for Paul. I thank you for this letter he wrote to the Philippians and the encouragement we can receive from it and the instruction. Lord God, I pray that you would cleanse our minds, that we would think only on what is honorable and what is good and what is glorifying to you, Lord God. And I pray that this would reflect in our actions, that we would seek to obey you as we ought. Pray that you would sanctify us and keep us, Lord God, especially on this Lord's Day, but also throughout the week. Pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.